Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you struggle to feel close to God in the middle of your hectic, stressful days? When your mind is racing, prayer can feel like just another task instead of a place to rest. Discover a new way to connect with God in Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker. This beautiful guide helps you weave prayer into your everyday routines through simple movements, grounding practices, and connection tools. Even in the middle of your busy life, God is near, inviting you to rest in His presence. Prayer in Motion is available now wherever books are sold.
Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode where I'm coming to you not live, but kind of live from London. And I'm joined by relationship expert Kate Mansfield today. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
We were having such an interesting conversation off air.
Yeah.
Just shooting the shit about effectively communicating with men. And I'm a very like formulaic person. I'm like, give me the rule book.
Okay.
And I'm going to win. That's how I want to play this. Like,
yeah.
You were saying men are just so simple. You're saying that women don't always know how to communicate with men in a way that gets them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do that?
Well, I think first of all, when I say men are simple, I think that women, and I've coached like thousands of men and women and couples. And so I've really experienced it from like all angles, like singles, dating, married. It's complicated.
Uh-huh.
All the kind of different versions, right? And I do find men just so much easier to coach because they tend to be, just like much more straightforward when it comes to relationships. I think men are often clearer about what they're looking for in a woman. Like, they're clearer about the kind of the goal and the outcome. So like men will be like, oh, right now I'm just kind of building my career and I'm just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they'll do. And they might meet an incredible woman, but they don't allow themselves, and this is a generalization, but it's true. I think biologically they're not wired the same as us. Like
mm-hmm.
they can have that detachment, right? They can see someone as amazing, but still be like, yeah, it's not the right time. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Whereas women, I think, are the opposite. We're like, we meet a guy that we like and we'd like start clinging on to him for dear life. And we're like, he's the only man on the planet. No, ladies, there are like literally billions right outside your door. But,
uh-huh.
you know, so we kind of go a bit crazy, right?
Yep.
When
yep,
you think about
here.
It, kind of lose sense of reality. So I think that's just to establish like that fundamental difference. And that's why I think men often are a bit more successful, particularly with dating and dating apps. So I think one thing that women can do initially is like, and this is like how we initially start to communicate with men is like energetically, right? We've got to start there, not just with verbal language or body language or whatever, but thinking about our intentions, thinking about how we're going to approach dating, like what attitude do we have?
Mm.
And it should be like, curiosity rather than commitment, right? And I think this is where it's like a really simple formula that I work with my female clients. It's just helping them stay curious for longer because I think men are naturally more curious than commitment minded, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have pinned that question or pinned that description on men.
Yeah.
Curious.
Yeah, I think so. I think in general, again, men want to spend longer getting to know a woman. In a sense, right? Women are like, no, he's the one. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Just based on what he looks like or based on kind
yeah.
of the chemistry or something like that. Having said that, though, you know, I think if a guy is taking months and months to like figure out if he likes you or not, that's not a great sign either. So I do think there's a middle ground with everything. There's a kind of a balance. And interestingly, though, I think with my clients, in terms of like things they've reported back in terms of them, you know, that have worked, like clients that have met someone, got married and kind of it's happened relatively quickly and in quite a simple way where they've just been able to maintain that curiosity. I think then it gives the man space to like kind of figure out how he feels, because often men I've coached say to me that they don't feel seen by women.
Mm-hmm.
That they often feel like women are looking at them as like, oh, you know, how are you going to tick these boxes for me? Do you know what I mean? Like a bit of an orange on a stick scenario.
Okay.
As opposed to like them really feeling kind of like the woman's genuinely interested in who that person is, who that man is. And this is something I hear from men a lot. And often women are like, what are you talking about? But if we think about sometimes how we might project all of our needs, all of our desires onto a guy that we've just met, right, based on quite superficial stuff, I think we need to like stop doing that and just, yeah, just stay curious. Stay curious, ask more questions. We need to definitely ask better questions of men. Mm-hmm. And that can be a really great introduction to effective communication with men, because we're signaling stuff. We're signaling, I'm not that easy to get. I'm not convinced yet. Like, I need to know the answer to these things before I'm going to allow you into my world.
Oh, I love that, because it's sort of like you're very subtly and subconsciously communicating that you have boundaries without being like, no, 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 no.
Yeah. So instead of saying like, oh, let's be exclusive, it's like asking questions around that. So tell me about historically, like your ability to be faithful in a relationship.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to lie and say they've never cheated before, because that's all men do is lie. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I think that's an interesting thing that you bring up, and it's something I've never heard anyone communicate before, is that men don't feel seen by women.
Yeah.
Have they communicated with you what they would like women to do to feel more seen?
It's asking those types of questions that are like often honest to a point that for women feels kind of uncomfortable, because we often don't want to know the answer, right?
Yeah.
So it's getting into a kind of level of truth telling and asking for that level of truth in a really kind of quite a brave way that to men is like a massive turn on. And it's also, for some reason, it triggers this like maybe a bit of a hunter kind of instinct in them, mm-hmm. where it, 'cause it's showing your self-esteem, I guess, and your confidence. And it's also showing that, like, I'm just here for the truth. Like, if you tell me something that isn't non-negotiable to me, I'm great. Like, thanks for the info. See you later, kind of thing, right? So, because I do think, again, like, women tend to tiptoe around all this stuff and kind of hope for the best and, like, you know.
I don't want to know. Ignorance is bliss.
But it kind of isn't, because, you know, then we find out these things later, right? Mm-hmm. Once we're married and have three kids, and that's like a really bad scenario.
Yeah.
to find out someone, oh, yeah, I have a problem, like, being faithful. It's just like, okay. And actually, one thing I've noticed is most men will tell you, like, what the thing is on the first date. And often women just completely, like, decide not to hear it.
Give me an example.
I don't know if you've had that experience. Like, men often will say that, like, oh, I have a problem with alcohol, or like, if there is an issue of some kind, mm-hmm. they often will say what it is. And then it's almost like if you stay and you don't address it or talk about it again, you're kind of like buying into that.
Mm-hmm.
You're agreeing to it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I do. And I can think of situationships that I've been in where the red flags that appeared at the beginning stages, I mean like first, second, third date, those red flags were always the thing that ended it in a more extreme way.
Like, yes.
I remember I dated a guy who had a sense of humor that was questionable.
Okay.
We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever, he's an ex-frat boy, like he's going to grow out of it. And then I remember just sitting on the couch with him one day, and we're like watching some comedy special, and some of the jokes were just so grotesque. And I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, how have I been dating you for 3 months? Why have I, like, how have we gelled so well? Like, the fact that you think this is funny is so, like, against my values.
Yeah.
And, you know, wasn't necessarily the thing to end it, but was definitely a contributing factor to, like, the blow up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I had just listened to those voices in my head and not just like stuck around because he was cute and tall and fun.
Right.
You know, I could have saved myself 2 months.
Well, this is true. And I think one of the things that just came to my mind, though, in terms of like, how do we communicate effectively with men in terms of getting what we want? Right. Because there's two sides of the coin, because I think we can be too like head in the sand, and like, you know, a guy can tell us like a major red flag and then we just, oh, that's fine. You know, I'll be the one that changes you kind of thing, right? But then we don't address it and we just allow it to, like you said, and then it usually blows up later. So we don't want to do that. But also, if we really like someone, it's not always the answer to just walk away either. depending on what it is. I think, you know, what I found to be really effective is actually then asking questions like, is that something you're willing to address? Because what we want to know really, I think, for most women is like, is this man willing to grow? Is he willing to work on himself? Like, is he open to that? Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, if someone is, you can kind of go on that journey a little bit. You know, again, it depends what the issue is. And sometimes it's something that's just like so,
so
awful
yeah.
to you that is like, no, okay. And I think that's, again, that's the mistake that women make is like they try and do that work for the man, or they think that they can change him mm-hmm. by manipulating through sex maybe, or being super nice, or, you know, all the people pleasy stuff that, that kind of we feel like, oh, we can kind of like coax him into it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's about like, okay, that's not going to work for me. But yeah, is that something like you're willing to look at and address? Because I think often women don't even ask that question. Like they either leave and run away or they flip into the other side. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I also think women can then fall into the trap of like coming off really naggy too.
Yeah.
Which then, you know, then they start viewing you subconsciously, I think, as their mom. And then you stop becoming like the sexy girl from the bar that they met. And they're like, oh, this chick just wants to like tell me what to do all the time.
Yeah. And actually, if you do that, then it avoids you needing to kind of like micromanage or get into that like mommy role, which is like, it's such a killer. It's such a killer on all levels. And like, who wants to? Like, it's not fun, right? No. We don't want to be like, it's not sexy, it's not fun. So I think this is a great way to inspire men is to kind of say, well, look, this is my standard. I don't expect you to like necessarily meet that today and be right there now. But yeah, are you open to that? And again, men generally will be honest and be like, you know what, Ashley, no, not really.
Yeah. Actually, to be honest, and I feel like, I mean, and maybe it's because all of my stories that I hear on my podcast are so negative that I'm almost like, are people even capable of change? Like, can they mask it for a little bit? Or do you think people really have the capacity to change some of those habits that are not great or don't really align with our values?
I think absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, 100%. And maybe I'm lucky because obviously as a coach, I have men come to me all the time who want to work on themselves. So. Mm-hmm. And they want to grow and develop. And so that's kind of become normal to me. But that certainly wasn't my experience historically with men. Like I've had a couple of long, long relationships with men who just weren't willing to grow and change at all. So I had a lot of negative evidence, you know, for that. Like I got quite entrenched in that storyline until I started actually working with men. And then, you know, now even like my Facebook feed, for example, is just full of men who show up, like really show up at the top of their game and are really open to growth. And there's so many of them. There really are. But like we have to start kind of noticing them. And there is that, I suppose, like kind of law of attraction thing, right? We kind of get what we look for and we've got to put ourselves in that pool somehow, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it just starts with believing it's possible. And, you know, I definitely went through I've done a huge amount of dating as well. And I definitely went through like a whole run of guys that weren't willing to, but I asked them all and they were all like, nah, and some just ghosted and so, you know, so it's just like, okay, next, you know, and there was like, for me, there was a whole kind of period of time where I just had to sit with that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just kind of keep kind of dusting myself down really and getting back on the bike, as they say, and, you know, keeping going. And then eventually someone showed up who was, you know, and yeah. So I think it's definitely possible. I think it's getting more common as well. I think since COVID and lockdown, I think we're just seeing a huge increase in men, like being more aware of their feelings, their mental health, wanting to work on themselves. Like I've had a huge increase in male inquiries since then. Massively.
Why do you think the pandemic changed that?
I think just everyone having to sit with themselves, you know, I think everyone got so aware of their kind of loneliness in a sense. And yeah, I think men can be more disconnected from that. Like, especially like the higher achieving men who are out there doing life, you know, have a lot of women that to choose from and stuff. But if you strip everything away, I think it gives people that chance to like really figure out, oh, yeah, I do want something a bit deeper, you know, and more meaningful. And I think men do want that. They just have often a different route to getting there than we do as women.
In what way is that route different?
just in terms of, I think in general, again, like men are a little bit more discerning and they're also a bit clearer about like who would be a good fit for them in a slightly more detached way. Mm-hmm. And we tend to be more emotional about it.
Yeah. Like yeah. We go 0 to 60 emotionally.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit more like slow on the gas.
Yeah. I think so. In terms of just being a bit more like they might really find a woman attractive, but they can detach emotionally and say like, she's really hot, but she doesn't have these certain qualities that I need
yeah.
in a life partner. Whereas women don't have that ability.
Uh-huh.
I think if a guy's really hot and like he's doing it for us yep. in a physical sense, our brains tend to melt and we're just like, yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, no, come on.
No. Well, I think maybe this is a sexist take, but I always just feel like guys just hit the lottery in terms of like having so many women to choose from. Like I can look around at a bar and I'm like, every woman in here is like an 8, 9, 10, at least on the physical scale. Yeah. I don't know what she's like emotionally.
Yeah.
And then for me, I'm like, it's every 4 months I'll see a guy and be like, he's cute. And then he has a girlfriend. So yeah. it's like when you find that one guy that really, like, really does it for you, you're like, okay, well, if you can just fit things emotionally, like this is great.
Yeah. I think that can also be a little bit of an avoidant pattern though, because we tend to, with avoidance, we tend to get overly focused on physical, mm-hmm. right? And there's a piece, sometimes a piece missing around that emotional connection mm-hmm. within ourselves. And then we don't have that connection with that many men mm-hmm. as a result of that. So it does kind of give us a smaller pool, but you can definitely develop that
like for sure.
through doing that inner work.
Yeah. Well, I definitely have a lot of work I need to do right now. I'm just like just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks metaphorically, obviously. But but I do want to touch back on those questions that you were mentioning about asking men to A, make them feel seen, but also for you to be able to determine like who is actually a good fit for you in terms of your value. So if I'm picturing like a woman or a man listening to this and maybe they're swiping through Bumble or they're on Hinge and they've got a first, second or third date coming up.
Yeah.
I'm wondering like what are some good questions for those early stages that are intense enough to be meaningful but not like so off-putting that it's like, when was the last time you cheated or that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think asking people about like past relationships, I know for a lot of people it's like, oh, don't go there with exes and stuff. I actually think it's quite a good idea for like early stage of dating to kind of dig a little bit like, how did it end? What did you like? What did you not like? What are your deal? Like, what was a deal breaker for you? Again, that often tells us a lot, right? It gives us a lot of information about the person, because I think it often reveals like, oh, you know, my exes are crazy. It's like, okay.
Yeah, so what did you do to make them crazy?
Did you make them crazy?
Yeah.
But in terms of other questions, I mean, I think it's good to try and mix it up. So it's like almost alternating with like fun humor and then deep questions. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good strategy for early dating. So it's not an interview, but it's like, it's also just not too superficial. Do you know what I mean? Where you're just like talking about the weather and travel and data, you know, because you're not going to find out what you need to find out. So it's like, and I think humor is a great tool when we're asking those deeper, like slightly scarier questions, kind of just to bring in a little bit of like just tongue in cheek kind of energy, you know, with that kind of stuff. I mean, I think asking someone what they're looking for, but I guess it's context based a little bit depending on age range, right? So I think when you're dating like in your 30s, maybe 20s and 30s, it's very different from like 40s to 50s and beyond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that definitely plays into it, because if you're dating with a view to getting married and having children, then you want to be asking very different questions from if you're like post-divorce or whatever. And like,
yeah,
it's more about like, why do you want a relationship is a great question.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you've already kind of done like the white picket fence thing.
Yeah.
It's like you're not really looking for, I'm not saying like marriage is a goal, but at that point, I feel like you're almost more patient with willing just to wait for someone who's a good partner rather than like someone who's checking a box.
Exactly. Exactly. So you want to be kind of thinking more about, do we have a shared vision or a mission? Like, that's a really important thing, I think, across the board. And often children and marriage is the shared vision, shared mission. But I think it's nice to have something else. outside of that, like alignment in purpose, alignment in not necessarily all interests have to match, because I think that's, again, a mistake. You know, that can get really boring. So you want a bit of both. But I think, yeah, mission, purpose, asking people stuff like what lights you up, what makes you feel satisfied in life, like, yeah, things that are a little bit more values based are good questions to ask.
Yeah,
I think initially.
I think it was yesterday I was talking to a therapist, and she said the number one gauge for a success in a relationship is just having those shared values. And it's funny because I can think of the last 5 dates I've been on, and I was like, I don't think we talked about values at all.
Okay,
and it's like the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then love language stuff, like how do you feel loved? How do you feel seen? Even asking someone like at the end of a date questions about their experience of you is like, I know that can feel super scary.
That's terrifying. Well, knowing me, I'd be like, here's the Google form. Score me 1 through 5 in these areas and let me know. I wouldn't be able to stomach looking at it. And maybe that's like an area of growth that I need, but yeah, that terrifies me.
Yeah. Well, you could start with, what did you like about the date?
Yeah, that's a good, you know, that's probably a lot easier than a Google form.
Yeah. What did you like about this evening?
Yeah.
Was there anything you didn't like? Those type of questions, I think, are kind of like when we're brave enough to get a little bit edgy, I think that's great. Like that creates a lot of excitement and kind of chemistry sometimes. Mm-hmm. And chemistry definitely can be created. And it, you know, like I said, it's not always just physical attraction. Like we can learn how to kind of cultivate that with these types of questions, with being willing to like push through our own fear of vulnerability, fear of being seen. Like, because what we're doing in that process is getting super authentic, right? And we're also saying like, I don't care what you think, because I do care what you think, but if it's negative, it's not going to destroy me. And that's quite powerful, I think.
Having the self-worth for it.
Yeah. If we can take feedback, you know, without like being like, oh my God, I want to die.
Yeah. Like this is horrible. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So we talked a lot about communicating with men in like the early stages of a relationship. But I mean, I hear a lot of complaints from like my friends who are in long-term relationships where they feel like even just communicating things that they need in a relationship, maybe they're not doing it in the right way to be able to get the outcome that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. So what are some tips for women who are however long into a relationship where they need to communicate something, but they feel like it's just going straight over their guy's head?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's quite an evolved process when I work with clients who are married or in a couple where that's the case. And it's, but I know like around the world, it's a thing, you know, women nagging their husbands and like, why doesn't he just take the bins out? And, you know,
so easy.
Why doesn't he just do it? And I think, you know, what gets revealed in that, the fact that that's such a kind of like global thing, right? It's across the board, is just the differences between men and women and how our brains work. So one of the first things I get women to do is to like really learn to depersonalize all of this stuff, because I think women carry so much hurt and resentment about the fact that like creating meaning out of what the man did or didn't do. Mm-hmm. And when we can remove that, often that's like transformative in itself, because it just creates this space for the man to be like, oh, suddenly I don't feel wrong, bad, pressured, nagged, criticized, right? Or like she's resentful. So I do a bit of work around like just releasing some of that stuff and like really trying to let go of all the past stuff that he hasn't done, and just kind of, it's like, okay, let's just start with a clean slate. Let's just imagine that, you know, that he was doing those things. And I'm not saying he is, and it's not okay that he's not. But so that in itself can often just create the shift where suddenly the man's like, oh, is there anything I can do for you? Right. It's amazing. It's actually amazing how that works. So much of it is energetics. Mm-hmm. It's not always like the details, the logic, the actual day to day, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other obvious thing is to help women to just stop doing everything. Like just stop, just let the dishes pile up a little bit and like, you know, let it get a bit messy. Mm-hmm. Stop over-functioning, stop over-giving, stop overdoing, stop rescuing him from his stuff he's supposed to do.
I can just hear the women in the background being like, Kate, but if I don't do it, then it's never going to get done. And it's just going to be in the sink. And then...
Yeah, but it's never true.
Yeah.
It's never true. I mean, very rarely. So that's another thing is like, I think if you do those things simultaneously, it works really well because it's about creating that space. And then bringing in some appreciation and like noticing when he does do something nice for you. And I think this is where... Actually, love language stuff comes in and it's so impactful because, yeah, like so often men are showing up and women aren't noticing and they're just like, they're not seeing it because it's not the way they want to feel loved or it's not, you know what I mean? So yeah. Actually even making a list of like, just write down 10 things that he did, whether you like them or not, but like, you know, just shifting perspective and seeing, okay, actually he is pouring into me in the marriage. It's not in any way, shape or form what I want or need, but like that effort, like noticing that effort can again just help women to like calm down and be like, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought. You know what I mean?
Because
there's so much, I think again, for most women, we carry a lot of hurt and a lot of stuff from our childhood, from our fathers, from our mothers, you know, just from all of that stuff. And everybody brings that into a marriage. Everybody brings that into even a dating situation. But, you know, as a relationship evolves, the stakes get higher, right? And we want to control. We want to kind of make sure we get into this fear and panic. Like, I'm not going to get what I need. You know, and we all do it. And I think, again, women tend to also be overly focused on their husbands. Like, get a life.
Do something nag him.
Yeah, get a life. Like, say, right, I'm not doing the dishes. I'm going to go climb a wall. You know, whatever. Go and do some stuff like he does. You know, and I think men tend to be better at that stuff. They're a bit more selfish. So I think women should get selfish.
Yeah. I like that. I can be more selfish. I'm happy to take that advice.
Do
more
it.
Things that are just good for me.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're, you know, as I was saying to you earlier, I think we're also kind of really cultured into not being selfish as women. You know, even this idea of like men all have like a midlife crisis and like women aren't allowed to have a midlife crisis. You know what I mean? Mm. It's just in our society, there are these kind of things where I think it's so much more socially acceptable for men to like behave suddenly like children and go and spend all their money on a car or you know what I mean? And women are like, oh, you know, but it's like, well, you could go and do the same thing, you know? And actually I had a sort of like self-created midlife crisis last year. And I went to Africa for 3 months and just rode around on a motorbike.
That doesn't sound like a crisis. That sounds amazing.
No, it was great fun. But I was like, actually, like I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm just letting everybody know, and I'm going, and don't call me because I'm not going to answer. And I just went, and it was great. And
did you feel like it actually helped you?
Yeah, it really did.
In what
it
way?
Really did. There was something about just being completely selfish, and just like not doing anything like too crazy, but I just was just not available. I'm like, I'm just not available for this period of time, really. You know, and there was something about that, like not being emotionally available, like to extended family and like, you know, because I think we can get so pulled out of ourselves as women and pulled into this like role of the fixer, the agony aunt, the like the listener, you know what I mean? Just it's good to sometimes do things to be a bit more selfish and to go and have fun and like just let it go. And then it comes in. It's so interesting how that often happens.
Yeah. Well, also I feel like just getting out of like your everyday routine reinvigorates your excitement for life again.
Totally.
Which I think especially into adulthood. And I feel like I'm kind of going through like the quarter life crisis where I think I can relate to how you're feeling, where it's like, I just need to go somewhere that's not where I live.
Yeah.
And just not look at my text messages, just go to that bar if I want to go to that bar and do that tour because I want to do that tour and just remind myself that like life is really beautiful when it's not monotonous.
Yeah.
Get out of the box.
Yeah.
So we've covered the early stages of a relationship, what you're doing if you're in a relationship, like how to communicate with men. I want to know, how would men like to be broken up with? Like if you're ready to end a relationship with a man, like what's a very effective way to do it in a way that's not going to like totally kill his ego or turn him into like a stalker?
Okay. Are we talking about like dating stage or further in? I mean, I guess it depends.
I guess both.
Both. Yeah. I mean, again, I think women, and I've said this so much today, I feel like we just need to be more direct and more honest.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this goes for men as well. I mean, the whole ghosting thing is often like men tend to disappear because they're too scared to have that conversation with women, right? It's just like, I'm not feeling it. I like you, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think super early stages of dating, I mean, I tend to think like we don't really owe people that much.
Right.
Even if we've been on a couple of dates. I mean, it's nice to let someone down because they're not then like left on the hook, you know? So I think if you're brave enough to say, like, hey, I've had a great time, just not feeling it, best of luck. You know, just a simple text message saying that is fine. Breaking up with someone, like you're in a relationship with, I mean, obviously that's
harder.
Obviously
not like divorce, but, you know, it's different. Like, hey, honey, like this marriage thing, not working, even though it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, maybe your boyfriend where, you know, I feel like the way women break up with men is a lot of men that I have spoken to on this podcast, they feel blindsided because women kind of slowly break up with a man in their mind. And then all of a sudden he does one thing that's just kind of like the last straw. The men see it as like, oh, I just did this one petty thing and then she wanted to end the relationship. But it wasn't that one thing. It was that and then the 3 months prior to when she was thinking about all these other things that were leading to that decision.
Well, that's really interesting because I think that ties in a lot of what I've been talking about today in terms of like being much more honest and brutal with men way sooner. Like, this just isn't working for me and it's a deal breaker. So, like, are you willing to do something about it?
Yeah.
Like, way sooner. Because I do hear this a lot as well. Like, often for men it's a total shock. And everyone else around them is like, how is that a shock?
It's like, we've been watching this for months.
Yeah.
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 Everyone knew but you. Like,
yeah.
You were the last to find out about your breakup.
Yeah, but I do think that women often do, like you said, it's all in their mind and they're not saying it. They're just not communicating, you know, other than maybe nagging. And actually nagging isn't effective because it's a complaint. It's not like giving the man the opportunity to do something about it. It's actually just nagging him.
Yeah. It's not positive feedback or direction.
No. And of course, there are situations where you might do all the right things and say all that and it still doesn't work because he doesn't want to change. And, you know, we can't do anything about that. But I think at least if we've done that, we can walk away feeling like, okay, you know, I did my part and I can walk away cleanly, you know? So I think it's just, it's communicating in that way, in that much more direct kind of black and white type of language that men respond well to, as opposed to, you know, just kind of
the overly implied. Emotional.
Well, also I think women imply stuff and like, it's the way we communicate with each other. There's so much stuff that's indirect. Women are much better at like physical cues, body language, eye contact, like picking stuff up. If something is a bit off, if a friend's upset with us, we know, right?
Yeah.
We can see it. Whereas guys don't necessarily pick up on that stuff. And so as women, we're thinking like, yeah, he knows, like he's seen me this, that, and the other. And it's just like, nope. Probably not if you didn't tell him.
Well, it's on women too, because I feel like I've even experienced this in friendship where like you feel like something's off with your friend. Like women know because we can pick up on those cues. And then you ask your friend and she's like, I'm fine. When you know they're not fine.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating.
Yeah.
So it's on us to, like you said, be communicative about it.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a good example of how men feel really frustrated a lot of the time with women, where we just don't want to go there. And we're just like, no, everything's great.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, no, it's not. But if you don't tell me, what can I do about it?
Well, I think it's because in our minds, like we kind of belittle the problem. We're like, okay, well, I'll get over it. And so I don't want to make a fuss about it.
Yeah.
But like deep down, it really bothers us.
Yeah. So I would say to women, like make a fuss before it happens. Like get out ahead of the thing you're going to make a fuss about and like spell it out. And even if you're thinking, oh my God, I can't believe I'm having to spell this out. This is like so infuriating that I have to tell this man this, you know, it should be obvious. It really isn't to a lot of men, and it's not their fault. It's just their brains are different.
Yeah. Or I shouldn't have to tell him to do it. He should just want to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to spell it out.
Yeah. And then they learn the things you like, and then they kind of can, you know, they can adapt themselves, and then they can even start enjoying those things. But I think often men don't allow themselves like to have that downtime, that pleasure time that we do as women. Like, you know, we like to go to a spa. We're much more sensual creatures, you know, and we're much, I think we access the pleasure and joy side of ourselves much more easily than men. And so, and then often we beat men up for that as well. Like, why do you want to work all the time? But that's kind of how they're wired, right? That's also how they're conditioned. So that isn't like always a sign of like, oh, he doesn't want to spend time with me. It's just he's just gone down that rabbit hole and it's nothing to do with you, right? But it's like, hey, let's go do this. You know what I mean? So we can kind of help men, I think. Mm-hmm. We can help men to kind of invite them into that space with us as opposed to like making them wrong, you know? Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
Well, we have covered everything. When I feel prepared to go talk to men now.
Good.
Is there anything I haven't asked you about it, though, that you think is important for women to know? Like when it comes to effective communication, like is there something we haven't talked about that you think is important for people to know?
I think women should like really, really learn to get comfortable with their needs and just practice saying them out loud. Like say them to yourself in the mirror is a great thing to do. Say all the things you want and need. Like make voice notes to yourself and like just practice because it's really vulnerable. It's like it's scary, right? It's hard. But if you learn to do that with yourself, you start to build that intimacy with yourself and then it just becomes like an extension of that. And that is also like a really powerful thing to share with a man. There's something very attractive about that because it's not something men do easily either. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we kind of guilt ourselves into pushing down our boundaries. Yeah. But I think we forget that sometimes like having boundaries and telling someone like you can't have all access to me is like kind of sexy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, it feels not exclusive, but if you're just open and free with everybody, it doesn't feel special.
Of course. Like put him on a wait list.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But don't put him on the roster yet. Put him on the JV team.
Exactly. Definitely.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being just like an absolute wealth of knowledge. I've really enjoyed just picking your brain, especially because I'm in like that phase of my life where I'm just trying to figure this shit out. Where can people find you? What's new for you?
No, absolutely. So you can find me on my website, katemansfield.com. I coach men, women, and couples. I also coach footballers and celebrities and athletes, which is really good fun.
I know. I was like, please tell me who they are. She's like, I can't.
So that's another area that I work in. And then I have a course as well that I run, which is just called Get the Love That You Deserve. So it is what it says on the tin. Basically, it's for anyone who just struggles to get their needs met, to get the love that they want in their love lives, regardless of their situation. So, I think that's it, really.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on. It was so fun.
Thank you.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.